Can you tell us about what Dirty Rotten is and how it came to be?
So Dirty Rotten is a project I started just out of high school when I decided that I was already illustrating at the time, and I really wanted somewhere to put my illustrations, I guess. And so from there, I thought that, yeah, t-shirts were a good way for a lot of people to be seen and see the illustrations. So, I mean, that's how it initially started, was that, yeah, I just really wanted to put my passion into something that was, I mean, materialized. But yeah.
Cool. So straight out of high school, that's a brave move.
Well, I was about a year out of high school, and just drawing and stuff all the time. I actually went to COFA, so that's like an art university part of UNSW.
College of Fine Arts, is that
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. I was there for about a year and realized that, I mean, fine arts wasn't really where I wanted to be, but designing and illustrating was something that I wanted to pursue. And yeah, so from there, left school. I had a friend at the time who was also pretty keen on fashion and stuff. So we kind of put our heads together and yeah.
Okay, so you did that already just out of school, but I imagine you were interested in design and illustrating from earlier than that.
Yep. So I started, I knew I wanted to be an illustrator since I was probably about 5 or 6 years old.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy. So, like, I was drawing all through primary school. By the time when I was in year 6, or when I was, like, 11, they asked us what we wanted to be when we grew up, and I told them that I wanted to be, like, a Mad Magazine illustrator.
Yeah.
And then from then all through high school, I was always into my art and just drawing. And yeah, it approached like year 11 and 12 and had to start thinking about what I wanted to do when I left, and knew that it had to be something to do with design and illustration. And yeah, so I guess I knew for a pretty long time that that's what I wanted to do.
Mm. You knew pretty early on this is what you wanted to do. How'd you go from turning this desire and dream into a reality?
So I began searching for freelance design work. I think even in year 12, I was doing kind of a bit of design work for other people. Actually, when I was in year 11 and 12, I went and studied outside of high school. I did one of the TVET courses at TAFE. I did design foundations. And through that, I met a lot of cool people and learned more about where I could go with it. And then I left high school, went to art university, dropped out, and then I kept up my freelance work. So I was always searching for jobs and constantly drawing, which is cool. And then eventually, yeah, I just wanted to have a more solid place to put the illustrations. So that's where the clothing brand started. Originally, Dirty Rotten, I think, I was trading that as my... also as like my freelance design name.
Right.
So it started, as also a freelance design company. But we had the clothing alongside it. And then, but then eventually the clothing, I think, took over in terms of what I wanted to do. I did enjoy freelance work, but I mean, I'm more about doing what I want instead of people telling me what to do, which is kind of... bit selfish.
I think it's typical of the creative mind, though.
Yeah, it's hard to be... I found it really hard when you draw for your entire life, and it's like the thing that you go to is like your relaxation, or you just want to kind of chill out for a bit, and then to be told that you got to do it this way or that way, or they don't like it like that, and that can be a little bit frustrating. But at the same time, like, it's also very helpful to increase your... abilities, for sure. You need criticism sometimes, definitely.
So what was the first product that you guys had?
We just started out with 2 t-shirts, black and white t-shirts. We made so many like rookie errors, which is pretty funny, just too many colors, bad print placement. But no, it was a great learning experience. All our friends like really liked the fact that we made some t-shirts, and yeah, from there it spread a little bit more, and then I guess you build the base that way by getting it out to your friends, and they tell other people, and it spreads from there. It's good.
I've seen that part of your marketing strategy is to have bands and artists wearing your clothes and designs. So, like, to get exposure, do you still use that just as much as previously?
No, definitely. That's kind of one of the things I've learned, because, I mean, we've been doing it for five years this year, which is pretty big. I guess for a long time, I wasn't exactly sure where to place the brand. I mean, myself, I surf and skate, and I love music, like punk rock music and stuff, so it was a long time before I decided exactly where to position the brand in the marketplace. I wasn't really sure to make it a surf brand or a skate brand, because a lot of those things come with a lot of conceptions about what the brand is if you align yourself with those kind of those sports or that sort of culture. So yeah, for a long time I kept it out, but now, I mean, we took the brand on Warped Tour last year. We sponsored a band, so that's a 2-month tour through the States, through America. And I guess after doing that tour, I was like, yeah, like punk music and stuff is where the brand should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we work so frequently with bands, and yeah, it's just a good thing. Like, it's just working with friends, and it's a good way to have fun and also use it to travel and yeah, make buds. It's just, I mean, for me, that's probably what I'm most passionate about. So yeah, that's kind of why I place the brand there.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges with marketing in that way?
Obviously there's things where you got to remember, like, to work with the right people and work in the right way. You can't really, like, for me personally, my strategy when I deal with people is always from a friend basis. I don't like doing things too businessy when it comes to using ambassadors and stuff. Like, a lot of companies I know use contracts when they get ambassadors on, but I like to kind of know who the person is first, make buds, and then work with them from there. But yeah, there's definitely limitations where by doing that, you're also limiting where else the brand can be. If you say you're a punk brand, it's hard to then go out and align yourself with, I don't know, something that's completely opposite to punk music. Who knows? But yeah, it's not too bad. I think it's one of the most open cultures to align a brand with, for sure. Because, I mean, there's not too many people who are offended by music. Everyone generally enjoys it. So, yeah, it's good.
So you said that you decide to collaborate with people, a lot of it based on friendship.
Yeah.
What about, you've got, like, quite a lot of different designers and illustrators working with Dirty Rotten. So how do you decide that, okay, that's going to work with our brand?
So, I mean, the guys that we have worked with in the past are always people that we think fit the image that the brand has. But again, it's about it also is about who the person is. Like, I'm definitely pride myself on the fact that we usually work with buds and always have, like, a really healthy relationship with all the people that that are a part of the process. But I mean, generally we don't actually do too many collaborative projects either. I mean, I usually do most of the designs. I definitely have a lot of friends that I bounce ideas off with and stuff, and again, that's important to have some outside eyes, on what you're creating, because you can get a bit of tunnel vision sometimes. So yeah, it's nice to have another voice there to say, oh, like, maybe this would be better, or maybe you should do it like this. So yeah, I mean, again, it's just about, I guess, trusting your instinct and knowing the right person to work with. Yeah.
Can you give us a brief description of all that takes place from, like, the time that you have this idea for design, start drawing it, to actually having a t-shirt on someone's back?
So, it goes into, there's a lot of pre-planning with the way a fashion company works in the end. It's a lot of pre-planning. I mean, companies a lot bigger than myself plan 6 months to a year in advance for the clothes that they release. So, I mean, what we do is we come up with a theme generally for a range to draw. Once we have that theme ready, I'll start drafting up ideas, just get the pencils out, hit the books, draw idea after idea. And hopefully you come across some stuff that you like. I tend to base our designs around certain theme, like the words, or have, like, phrases or something that go along with that season. From there, yeah, drew it all up, and then I take it to the computer where I use my tablet and like the Adobe Suite programs, which are massively important in this day and age of design. I mean, they're not a necessity, but in the modern landscape of design, that's probably what you should be looking at, trying to get some sort of skills at. From there, yeah, we design it up, mock it onto the different sort of t-shirts we're looking for, look for the right kind of t-shirts to use, and yeah, get it into production. And eventually we once we're happy with production, we'll shoot the range however we see fit. I mean, we tend to do some pretty, I mean, I like doing really outlandish photo shoots. I really don't like your standard fashion shoot. I mean, it's a lot more fun to go smash watermelons in a park, but we from there it goes online, we shoot the shop shots, and it's online and good to go. That's when we start working with people. Generally in that process we'll also start marketing, so yeah, getting it to the right people so we get some good content that way. I mean, social media content is so important now. So yeah, timing is impeccable. It needs to be impeccable for a launch to work well. I mean, I've learned the hard way many times of not having my timing correct, where you release something and the content isn't there. But yeah, it's good. I mean, once you can kind of get that right timeline working, it's a really fun process, I guess. Seeing someone wearing the tape down the day is the best part about it. So yeah, that's definitely it.
And has it been like from the stage of mainly your mates wearing your clothes and then getting some bands on board, is it now a really exciting situation to go along to a festival or a concert and you're like, oh, there's heaps of people I don't even know wearing my stuff now?
Yeah, that's the thing that I guess like really helps drive me to keep going bigger and better, is seeing people I don't know wearing it. We actually do a lot more sales internationally now, which is really cool. So I mean, a lot of our customer base is in the UK and the US after the bands that we work with and doing Warped Tour. And so yeah, I guess photos sent to me from across the world just randomly all the time of these kids wearing their stuff and tagging us in it, which is, yeah, I mean, that just makes it all worth it for me. That's kind of like, yeah, definitely the best bit.
Cool. So you still start your illustrations pen and paper, you're still old school there.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the computer or tablet from there.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I noticed you wearing some rings that you obviously designed yourself. Do you think there's the potential for like 3D printer type things down the road?
Definitely. One of these rings was made with a 3D printer.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't made, the mold was made. That just speeds up the process a lot, and makes it a lot cheaper. But I mean, of course, like, I'm definitely open to exploring kind of any new ways of making stuff. Making stuff is the bottom line of why we kind of started this. So yeah, the rings were just something that I wanted to make, so we did it. Yeah,
but they're just yours. They're not.
I have put them online. I've sold a few, but they're kind of, obviously rings aren't really like our market for sure. Like we've sold a couple, but I mean, I never intended it to be a thing. It's more about, because I mean, these are all sterling silver as well, so
they're gonna be
they're
costly.
Quite expensive. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're chunky rings, so that's gonna cost a bit. Yeah,
but I don't know, just feels right to wear them now.
Cool. What about, I see you've got a bit of body art yourself.
I do.
Do you guys do any designing for tattoos and things like that?
No, I mean, I've been asked a lot to design tattoos, but I tend to say no, because, I mean, tattooing is a different art form in itself. The reason I got into it was, like I mentioned before, when I was in high school, I went and did that TVET course, and I met a guy there who became a tattooist, and he's done a lot of my work. So I respect what they do, and I know a bit about, I guess, like the process of what they do. It's quite hard to design a tattoo if you aren't a tattooist yourself, because you need to be aware of the way the body moves and stuff like that. But I mean, I've thought about like getting into tattooing for sure. I mean, it'd be fun. Again, you're getting a draw every day, so there's not much more you want to do.
Cool. Now, I noticed that the t-shirts are mainly, or maybe even all of them, are 100% cotton.
Yeah, all 100% cotton.
All 100% cotton.
Yeah.
Why was that a decision that you guys made?
I guess it's just the feel. The feel is what you want. The tees that we use hold their shape quite well, And again, that's just another thing that we learned the hard way. I mean, I've made every error under the sun, and once I found the right tea that we like to use, I mean, that's the one you stick with.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I mean, even that comes back down to even like the right printers and stuff to use as well. It took me a long time to find guys that I was comfortable with, like working with. And eventually, once you find them, you trust them enough to work with them all the time. That's another thing I think is really important, is keeping a good, solid crew of guys around you that you can trust to make sure you're always going to get the right product. And yeah, the t-shirts are just a part of that. You got to be proud of what you're printing on and stuff like that. So yeah, just look for the right ones, I guess.
Mm. Now, I read an interview with you in which you said that you have a comic that you made up on your wall to remind you how hard you can work if you have to.
Yeah.
And you've also talked quite a lot today about making errors and learning from those mistakes. So in terms of advice for young people looking to make a career from their passion, what would you say about working hard and about working smart?
I think the biggest thing is realizing that when you're young, you don't, like, there's so much to learn that you think that you probably got covered. And I mean, it's amazing to have the gung-ho attitude where you want to go out there and just do everything, but just have your ears open, your eyes open, and look for people. I find the biggest thing is looking for people that can help you, that have done it before, because that's where you're going to learn the most, is from those guys. And yeah, work every day, all day, as much as you can on it. That's the only way you're going to progress at something. I mean, I myself, and I'm still doing it as well. Like, I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm always just doing what I need to do to get as far as I need to go with the things that I love to do. So yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is don't be too much of a knucklehead, and have your ears open, and yeah, like, just enjoy it is the biggest thing as well. Don't kill yourself. Like, if you're not enjoying what you're trying to chase, then you might need to look at what it is. Yeah, and maybe it might not be the right thing, but yeah, I think it's just important to really allow yourself to be taught by and guided by the right people and the right things.
Great. Yeah. All right, thanks so much, Marty, and good luck.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.